Thousands of years ago, Israel left Egypt, picturing sin, and during a course of a few weeks, saw some of the most amazing miracles ever seen. Egypt was smashed. Their gods were humiliated by the plagues. The fire by night, the cloud by day, had protected them from the world's superpower's army. The Red Sea had parted, and they had walked across on dry land to the far side. And they had seen the army of Pharaoh and Pharaoh himself destroyed. God had set them free so that they could worship him. They had come out of captivity and had been led to freedom. Just over a week ago, we took the Passover and observed the first day of unleavened bread. And we de-leavened our houses and our cars and all of our property. We've read and reread the ingredient list on lots of packets of food, or us males definitely have, to ensure that no leavened products were left in our house. We had come out of sin. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures obedience to God, keeping his commandments and his law during the unleavened bread. During unleavened bread, we are internalizing that. By keeping these feast days, we are remembering that by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Over the last week, we found ourselves thinking very hard about the food we are eating. Do hash browns have leaven? What about the steak pie that I've just bought and realised there's a topping on it? That's where texting your wife comes in very handy. For the other things, you pick up the sweet in the shop to eat. You look on the back, the ingredients. Does this have leaven in it? Also, we're catching ourselves just in time, sometimes, just before we take a bite of the cakes that someone has brought into the office because it's their birthday. I was at a networking event this last week, and as normal, 50% of the food on offer was unclean. So, pick up my plate, start going through. Chips, potato salad. Not the beef sandwiches this week. No, not the cheese and pickle sandwiches this week. That chicken looks good, I'll have two of those. It's in breadcrumbs. They'll stay on the side of my plate. I won't make a fuss about putting them back. I know. I'll make Mrs. Bowles very happy. I'll have some salad at the end of the line. There's croutons on it. It was not exactly my meal of choice. Chips and potato salad. Especially as I was starving hungry, and for the first time in years, I had left my wallet at home. So I didn't have the opportunity later in the day to buy myself a cheese salad. But I'm sure I was not alone in this sort of experience over this last week. We've all gone through the process of checking what we buy and what we eat this week. But turn with me, please, to Mark 7. And in verse 14. And when he had called all the multitude to him, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone that understands. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man." Some of us may have accidentally eaten leaven this last week, but that can't defile us because it went straight through. The body system dealt with it. But today, in the time available to me, I just want to look at one aspect. We've been very careful about the physical food we've eaten this week. And I want to encourage us all to look at one aspect of reading the ingredients in the spiritual food that we eat of. Carrying on in Mark 7, dropping down to verse 16. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?' And he said, 'What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man.'" At my networking event, where I had that lovely looking chicken and breadcrumbs sitting on my plate, where I was absolutely starving hungry with no way of buying anything later in that day. Oh, and did I mention I was going jogging that evening, and I can't run on an empty stomach? I must admit, for a split second, the thought passed through my mind. I've got them on my plate. Nobody will ever know. I know. I could have them. Thankfully, I was very good. I didn't. I brought that thought into captivity, and I left the chicken on the side of the plate. Had I eaten the chicken and the breadcrumbs, that would have defiled me. It would have been my actions that would have been a blatant sin, because they would have been directly done knowing that it was against God's commandments and his way of life. Like I say, my plate happily returned to the serving area with the chicken and the breadcrumbs still on it. We are expected to do our part in God's work, in our life, in the way that God is dealing with us. It is not 100% God. It is 100% us as well, making sure that we actually strive to obey him. That is our part in the plan. Turn please to 2 Corinthians 4. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, sorry. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into obedience. Every thought which enters our minds has a spiritual implication. It is either in accordance with God's way of life, or it is not. There is not a grey area. We need to read the ingredient list on what we are eating spiritually, to make sure that it has not got spiritual leaven in it. I recall one minister saying many years ago, before he came into the church, he used to smoke cigars. But when he came into the church, he obviously stopped smoking. But he would often want to light one up, especially when someone near him did so as well. And he said it took him 20 years before he no longer wanted to have a cigar. Every day for 20 years, when he thought, I know, I'll have a cigar, he had to bring that thought under control and into captivity. The same thought over and over again, until it could no longer lead him into temptation. So in order just to underline my next point, I want to look at three separate points in time in where people were involved, either did or didn't bring their thoughts into captivity. Can you imagine how the course of history would have been different if all 12 spies went into the promised land to spy it out and brought their thoughts into captivity? These inhabitants are big. Yeah, they could wipe us out physically. But our God's just wiped out all of the Egyptians. I know. We'll let him drive the inhabitants out of the land before us. If they brought their thoughts into captivity, just what the history would have happened. 40 years of wandering in the desert would never have happened. The Israel would have entered the promised land and would have received the blessings God had promised. Or even better, imagine the course of history with this response. Having thought this through, Eve, you tell that serpent to take his rotten apple. The third one, thankfully, was a man who did bring thoughts in under control and into captivity. At age 34, I was assailed by a disturbing dual challenge. My wife, after 9 years of happy marriage, had begun keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. I was aghast. That, to me, was religious fanaticism. She claimed to have found the teaching in the Bible. My first upsetting thought was, what will my business contacts and friends say? It was a devastating thought, humiliating. All of the arguments came quickly to my mind. They were of no avail. She said she had found the teaching in the Bible. That was Mr. Armstrong in the article, How the Worldwide Church of God Came into Being, from the Good News, November 6, 1978. Mr. Armstrong had brought that thought into captivity. And he had put, without knowing it at the time, the Sabbath day above what his business associates would think of him. But turn, please, with me to Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not still God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Mr. Armstrong brought out time and again, that is why Adam and Eve didn't choose the tree of life. Why the Israelites, who had seen such awesome power of God, moaned continually and complained from the day they left Egypt until they went into the promised land and thereon after. Why 10 of the 12 spies chose not to rely on God, and why mankind through the ages is unable to read the ingredient list on the spiritual food. Why they are unable to bring their thoughts into captivity. We can't do it on our own strength. And once again, we see that by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, sin, out of the house of bondage. In the example that I used of Mr. Armstrong, he was being called by God, and the Holy Spirit was working with him to enable him to bring the thought into captivity. Likewise, the other minister that I mentioned earlier, who had the cigar temptation, which he constantly had to battle, he overcame it by bringing every thought into captivity, not on his own strength, but using the strength of the Holy Spirit that was within him. So in conclusion, over the last few weeks, the physical motions of de-leavening our lives, getting rid of all of the leaven out of our houses. And I know that I've read many ingredient lists, or texted Estelle to ask her, to make sure that I'm not eating any leavened food. Have I this week read the ingredient list on all the spiritual food that I've eaten? I'm sorry to say that I probably have not. There are aspects of life that I still struggle to overcome with. But I know that if I stay close to God and allow his Holy Spirit to guide me and I submit to it, I will be able to do a better job next time of bringing every thought into captivity, to throw out the spiritually leavened food before I eat it. Remember the promise we've all been given if we do just that, if we bring every thought into captivity in the obedience of Christ. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on